B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
3-2 to Smoke. And a ground ball. There's Devers behind the bag. Fires on, and that'll do it. Red Sox win it. Final score of 10-8. A little closer than they would like, but into the win column. Red Sox win the first of the four-game series here from the Toronto Blue Jays.
Zolak and Bertrand, it's Hardy in for Beetle. Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, joining us now. Hi, Dan.
Hello, Hardy.
What's going on?
Nice to see you guys.
Hello, how you doing, bud?
Yeah, summertime.
Good seeing you, pal.
Yeah, good to see you, man.
Nice. Dan always likes to tip his hand in terms of what we're going to be talking about. He sends out a tweet with his agenda for his
social media conscious I am.
Isn't it remarkable how just a few short years ago you're like, Hardy, what is this Twitter thing?
Well, there's still a problem with the direct tweets because I'm afraid of them.
So messages?
Yeah, if you ever send me one, you'll never hear back.
Well, let me tell you something.
I don't know how to respond without responding to everybody.
Don't ever put anything in print.
Well, I'm a big phone call guy anyway. I think you can accomplish a lot more in a two-minute conversation than you can in 20 texts or tweets back and forth, but it's just a good policy. It's just smart. Don't
leave
put anything in writing.
Leave it alone.
Yeah, but somebody screenshots it and then tweets it, and then, you know, what do you do?
I was trying to get a hold of Rochi one time, and I think I had a direct tweet, and I tried to answer him, like, and I said, call me, you know. And it went to like 80,000 people, you know, instead of just to Rochi.
Yeah, that's...
Fortunately, I didn't put my cell phone on there.
It's like when Michael Scott sent out the picture, he and Jan at Sanders.
That's right, same thing.
Packer, that was a packing.
So Dan said in his tweet, we'll discuss Show Pony Red Sox and more. Dan dates at 12:50. So
tease.
About those Show Pony Red Sox. Well, first of all, you said no one pummels tomato cans like these 2019 Red Sox. So it's interchangeable, this tomato can thing, and it's not exclusive to the Patriots.
No, we'll get to that thing about those phony division stats later. We'll get to that.
You said look for them to go up 7-0 versus the Jays and the Orioles this week. Then they will suck versus Yankees and Rays. Show Pony Sox are 19-28. That's a 4.04 win percentage versus teams with winning records.
Teams with winning records. I mean, and you look at the American League, they are exactly where they should be, which is the teams with winning records are over them. Then there's them. And then there's all the bums, which is, you know, people that are just way out of it. The four worst teams in baseball are in the American League. That would be Detroit, Baltimore, Toronto. Thank you very much. They're in town. And Kansas City.
Boy, what happened to Detroit? What set them up for failure?
And then you get 38 games against the Orioles and Jays in this case, and they get to a small sampling of Tigers and Royals, but that's helpful. And again, it's just you can't punish them for beating the teams that are in front of them. So that's good. Way to go. They're handling that. But that win percentage against
they've tread water for
teams
a month
with winning records is
like June 16th. I went to Israel. They were 9.5 games on.
Right. Right, it's there. And
they're worse off.
And every time they're on national TV, there's all this effort to pump their tires about how they're still in it and they're relevant. They're not in it for first place. They're not. Sorry. I mean, there's two teams ahead of them. One of them is 9 games ahead, I think 10 in the loss column. So you could make that up. It's been done. The 1978 Yankees made up 14.5 on the Red Sox, but there was only one team ahead of them. And there's no indication that they're going to have this magic word. We only get the indication when they play the aforementioned Tigers, Orioles, Jays. And so this will be a good week. They're at home. They score a million runs. And you can't quarrel with 10-8 over the Jays. I guess you could, but we won't. That'll be good. And then there'll be this momentum again, like, oh, looks like they're turning it around. And then they'll have 14 straight games against teams with winning records.
Real teams.
And we'll see. You know, that's baseball. They haven't been. And I worried about them last year with this stuff. And then you know what? In the playoffs, they beat 200 win teams, and then the National League champions, and they beat them 11 times in 14 games. You can't fight that. But this year, they're not the same, and we'll see how they do after this diet of Jays and Orioles this week.
Okay. Well, Zoe and I talked about this yesterday. My feeling about this team this year is last year when watching them, I had the notion of, God, how are they going to come back and win this one? How are they going to pull this one out? When things didn't seem to be going their way in a game, something would go their way, or they would pull off some late inning heroics offensively, or, you know, Kimbrel
ran the bases smart.
Kimbrel would load up the bases, but then get out of a jam. So, this was, and they were good on the bases, though, exactly. And my thought watching them last year is like, man, how are they going to pull this off?
Sure.
This year, it is, how are they going to blow it? And as somebody emailed me last night and said, thanks a lot, Hardy. Now I'm watching this game, and I'm watching them with a lead late in this game, and all I can think of is, how are they going to blow it because of that? And whatever breaks they were getting last year, they're not getting those breaks. They're not getting whatever amount of luck you want to put on a game or a win or a season. They don't seem to have as much of it this year. Plus, there's that feeling of impending doom when you're watching this team.
Right. I mean, hitting with runners in scoring position hasn't been a strength in the big games. The bullpen, we know, the starters underplayed ineffectiveness of the starters. We saw it out of the gate. You're still seeing it. And then this notion, what day was Eovaldi announced as the closer?
A while ago. I'm still waiting.
It was like 2 weeks ago. And now he's rehab assignment starting in a few days. So
we're gonna get to Eovaldi.
They got so much credit. Oh, they've solved it. They've announced the plan. And who makes a plan like that in the middle of an urgent month when you're sinking? And then the plan is like 4 weeks from now. Yeah, we'll have a guy.
We'll get to him.
Who does that? And they were applauded for it. Kills me.
Okay.
Kills me.
But in terms of like just the overall team and the feeling you get from watching this team, for the most part. And John Henry was a bit off when he said that they brought the team back from last year. I can't believe we're sitting here talking about Joe Kelly, but you can't,
I don't know if Henry would be sitting there thinking, boy, okay, remember so much about Kelly. I think when Henry speaks about it with that respect, it's, we've locked up Bogarts. We know we still have Betts, Mookie Betts, Chris Sale, Rick Porcello, Price.
David Price. Yeah. For the most part, he's
Eovaldi.
Right.
That's the way he looks at it.
Right.
He knows Brock Holt. Nunez at the time.
Yeah. Right. Now, they don't have a closer still, and we'll get to Saint the Eovaldi catchers thing here in a minute. But, like, you know, for the most part, he wasn't lying.
No, it's 23 out of 25. Yeah, no one does that. That's a lot.
It's pretty close.
Yeah.
What is it that is so different? I mean,
it's the hangover.
It's you know what? And maybe it's time where Cora starts to hear a little bit of this because he was a big proponent of that. Well, we did it last year. What do you see what we do this year?
Yep.
And it's sort of like they sat back and took on that mentality. You know, they let Sell ease into it. I mean, we're getting into the months where Chris Sell falls off the wall usually, right?
Yeah,
months of August, months of September, where Sell usually runs out of gas in the tank. What the hell happened if he runs out of gas in the tank?
And he, at this time of year, I mean, he's 3-9. But that's a big, big drop off from where he was at this time last year.
He's calling himself a liability.
Mookie Betts is down about 60, 70 points. His OPS is way down. I mean, there are guys not, they haven't gotten as much out of JD. He's been good, but not as much. He's been hurt, had some back issues. You know, Moreland, obviously, there's been a first base hole. You know, there are things. But the bullpen, they never replaced guys who pitched, I don't know, 160 innings, whatever Kelly and Kimbrel contributed last year. They didn't replace it with major league talent.
Yeah.
So you had those issues, too.
Pace of play is good, though. Games are moving well.
Phew. Well, last night, they took an hour and 40 minutes to play, like, the first three after 5 hours and 40 minutes for the Dodger game Sunday night.
Something else we'll get to here a little bit later. Now, Pete Abraham tried to put, like, a nice... I don't want to call it a spin, but it was a spin. It was a bit of an ERA spin when he tweeted out some numbers the other day. I want to find it here, but he said, for everyone who says that Chris Sale is done or he can't do it anymore, and he rattled off a list of players who had bad ERAs and then came back to have good seasons afterward. But to me, that's almost like, well, wait a second. So you're saying this season's done with? We can't talk about Chris Sale maybe figuring things out for this year? He was giving ERAs for entire seasons where guys had bad years. I was like, okay, well, I don't even know that anyone has actually said that Chris Sale is all done and he can't do it anymore. But are we throwing in the towel a little bit on this year? Is it time to stop thinking about him being able to turn it around or this team being able to turn it around?
I think because of what Zoe said earlier about Sale's tendency to go downhill in August, September, that there's not a lot of hope that this thing's going to get reversed by him this year.
Here it is. Sale has a 4.27 ERA, certainly not good. Verlander had a 4.54 in 14. Lester, 4.33 in 17. Bumgarner has a 4.03 this year. Greinke had a 4.37 in 16. Ease up on the he's done and fire the pitching coach stuff. They're people, not robots. They fall and get back up. So is he falling down this season? Won't be able to get up this season?
I don't know. I mean, I see him and I still see good stuff there. I don't understand how this is happening.
So why is he protecting him, but yet about, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, Pete's like, I'm ready to blow the whole damn thing up. Get rid of them all.
Well, that was looking at the whole season, like what they, you know, the possibility that they may need to rethink going for it this year. And, you know, it was like a trial balloon. He floated that out there.
All right. Well, you had another humdinger of a statement on Nathan Eovaldi, so I would like to examine that and get into that a little bit more. And then we will talk about the length of these Red Sox games lately. Good grief. It's something else. It's something we seem to talk about every year, but it'll lead us into a larger discussion of what type of 5-hour sporting event would you sit through? And I think for the most of us, the answer is not a regular season baseball game, but what 5-hour sporting event would you sit through?
I want to hear Zoe's answer to that.
We'll talk about it with Dan Shaughnessy here on
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That's the Eagles, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Dan Shaughnessy here with us. It's Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy's in for Beetle.
We got bone to pick with you.
What'd I do?
Your little CCR group there. Is that you, Cream's Clearwater Revival?
Well, I mean, I like them, but I'm, you know, Crosby, Stills,
Nash. Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind.
Yeah, it's okay.
Hardy went down some wormhole on the song yesterday.
Looking out my back door where
You don't like it?
I mean, I just never really read the lyrics, and I was listening to it during Big Lebowski over the weekend. I'm like, yeah, tangerines and elephants playing with the band, won't you take a ride on the flying spoon? I'm like, who gets home from Illinois, drops acid, and then goes out and sits on the porch, which is what it sounds like he did.
Right.
And the explanation is it was all references to, like, Dr. Seuss books, but, you know, I tend to take these things literally more than figuratively. Especially with, you know, a folksy guy like John Fogerty.
Right.
They don't say, you know, they don't speak in a lot of metaphor.
It had a Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds feel to it, don't
Thank
you think?
You.
Newspaper
Thank you.
Taxis appear
like
in the show.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it was a good, it was a catchy tune. You know?
It just didn't seem relaxing.
What was the flip side of that 45? Fortunate Son, thank you very much.
Fortunate Son was the B side?
I don't know which was B.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. They were on either side of that.
Backed with
45.
That's that B/W.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So Dan tweeted out a couple of days ago. I worry about you sometimes. Sox think we are stupid.
Well, they do. Don't you get that feeling all the time?
I know,
if you watch Nesson, you feel that. You know, with the heat zone and.
God bless you. I just you remember where you work and, like, you know, who does everything there.
Tricky.
I just okay.
It's tricky.
All right. Sox think we are stupid. July 2, they announced Eovaldi as the closer. 2 weeks later, all caps, we have not seen Eovaldi. We are told he will begin a rehab assignment Wednesday or Thursday. Wow, who announces that help is coming 3 weeks from now? What a joke.
Really? I mean, and they pull it off. Like, remember the big Eovaldi drop, the news? It's like, oh my God, they've done it. They've cracked the code. It's going to be Eovaldi. We got this figured out. It was right after London. And it's like, oh, okay, well, then that's all set now. So, but he's a month away when they do it.
You try and placate stupid people.
It's just weird.
Then they're trying to placate.
It's insulting. This is a baseball-savvy audience, and I'm just – it should not be swallowed in whole like that. It's like, excuse me, when is this help coming? And you know, not to mention, we don't know if he can do the job. Meanwhile, the guy they
brought in – they'll be in good shape by then.
The guy they brought in, I mean, he's starting tonight, Cashner. And you know what his lifetime one-loss record is?
You want to guess? 9-3 this year?
On lifetime.
Oh, 9-3 this year. That's yeah. And that's with a bad team. Good for him.
Yeah.
Lifetime, he is 55-82.
Oof.
His ERA 2 years ago was 5.29.
Well, but you can have a bounce back year, as Pete A. pointed out a few days ago. That doesn't mean anything. People fall down, they get back up, Dan.
59-82.
Jesus,
and
he Jones.
That was the big news.
59-82?
And there was a party for Dave Dombrowski when he made this deal 2 days ago. They carried him around.
Did you give up two 17-year-olds? Like these 17-year-old prospects nobody ever heard of?
Correct. Yes. They're just
That's an easy flip.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's like, and, you know, 32-year-old guy, and you know, he's gonna, and again, he's got to be better than what we've been looking at, but it is a understated, you know, it's he's been with a lot of bad teams, you know, but I mean, 55-82. No, Andrew Cashner, good luck to him tonight.
I know we've talked about it here with you about Eovaldi as being the guy. Whether or not he ever shows up and fulfills that role remains to be seen. I mean, what are your thoughts on the, it kind of plays into what John Henry said before. It's like, look, we spent all this money. We got all these guys.
Yeah.
Who says, you know, someone has to play here or play there? It's like, we'll just use him. It's almost like that type of thinking has now trickled down into you know, Dave Dombrowski and Alex Cora's minds, where he's like, yeah, he's right. We got a bunch of guys who are making a lot of money. We'll just have to, you know, play him where, you know.
Yeah.
Eovaldi and Sell. Eovaldi and Sell got awarded money because you won the World Series. Like, Bogarts was here.
Yes.
So, I mean, you had to take care of him. He's one of your good cornerstone pieces, young, good talent, solid, plays every day. So he's going to get his money regardless of whether he won or not. Those two other guys got awarded money and those type of contracts because of how they won and the fashion
well,
they won it.
I would separate him. Eovaldi, no question. That one game
18,
against the Dodgers,
God.
You know,
yeah.
He's getting $17 million a year for 4 years. And, you know, if you're going to pay that money for a closer, you could have given it to Craig Kimbrell. Not that I was in favor of that, but your closer is now making $17 million a year, the guy who sometime before the end of the season is going to be your closer. He's never done the job. He doesn't want to do the job. He is at arm risk for the job. He's had two Tommy Johns and a little surgery again this year. And now you can ask him to pitch, you know, every other day, three out of 4 days, two out of 2 days, whatever. He throws 100. We know that. But he has not done that job. And there's a notion, oh, he did it last year in the World Series. That was a start. He came in and threw 97 pitches over six innings. That was not closing. I mean, it might have been if they had scored some runs, but that's not what he brought in and did that day. This is not what he does. You know, he's going to have a rehab assignment. And yesterday he threw 25 pitches to no batters, and everybody said, wow, he looks ready. He looks great. You know, so, you know, anyway, so this is the stuff you're supposed to assume is going to make it all right.
So you're no longer asking it. Do the Sox think we're stupid? You're saying the Red Sox think we're stupid.
I just think the fan base is far more sophisticated than sometimes the way things are parsed out.
All right. Eduardo Nunez designated
Nooney,
for his son.
It was time.
Yeah.
They got what they, you know, hey, remember last year he was everywhere. Remember that World Series game? He was horizontal four times in like five innings. You know, sprawling into the third base box seat.
What's your favorite Nunez moment?
I think when
John Farrell's helping him carry.
No, when he willed himself into the third base grandstand last year, when he was backing up, and then he launched himself into the seats after making the catch. His legs were flying up.
Better.
You know, this is after launching himself across the mound in pursuit of a pop-up, launching across first base, running out of ball. He was always horizontal. And, yeah, I mean, you know, good guy. Been around, veteran guy. They got something out of him, and they won a World Series, and he was a contributing guy. He had one big home run in the postseason. There was more than that, but I know there was one giant home run for him. And yeah, so anyway, time was up. Wasn't getting it done, and they've moved on from that. So the Nooney era is over.
As far as Chris Sale goes, he has now, as Zoe pointed out earlier, labeled himself a liability.
Yeah,
I'd skip him. I'd skip a start. Let him think about it.
Well, I think he's thinking about it plenty. You know, when you saw the other night...
Wait a minute. Do you think he's hurt?
Well,
now, when I say hurt, I mean...
I don't know, so...
You could go out and, like, regardless of your sport, you could go out and you could play.
Yeah.
And you could perform.
It seems there to be...
It seems like there's something holding him back.
It seems to be a command issue with him.
Right.
I mean, he was popping 97 out of the gate the other night. That's hard to do if you're hurt. But since he was hurt last year,
you know what I'm saying? I mean, you could test out strong. You could test, like, I could sit here and do your test on your shoulder. Yeah. They could look at it, and you could be at like 80%. But you know what? At the end of the year, we could go in there, we could tighten some things up. And I'm saying, like, maybe at the end of the year, they may have to go in and clean something up.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because in spring training, you know, he went on the shelf last year in early August, and they just brought him along so slowly the rest of the way, to the point where he had taken Kimbrell's job at the end. He was supposed to start that last game, and then he couldn't do it, so Price started again, and then Sale came in and struck out the side in the
You just
the
don't forget how to pitch.
No, I mean, no. And he's but I didn't like, you know, his, you know, he's the bulldog, he's aggressive, he doesn't make excuses, all that stuff. It's great. The other night, he was barking at the umpire when he walked the first batter of the game. First batter of the game, and he was, you know, he got squeezed twice, I think, in that at bat. He didn't like it, and, you know, it was like the old John Lester, the old Roger Clemens, but it seemed like, man, this is not a, don't tee up the umpire on the first batter of the game. And it was never right for him. In that game, that was when the little grounder in front of the mound, there's one on and two outs. The inning's over, and he runs in, and he's so deliberate not to throw it away that Bellinger beat it out for a hit. It was crazy. It was just it was out number three right in front of him.
Yeah.
And then the next batter, you know, walks into a high fastball and slices it, you know, carves it down the line, and you're down a run right there. I mean, it was, and then some of the meatballs he threw later, a horrible outing for him. Three outings in a row, five earned runs or more. That's not him. And the man never wins a game. He's not won a game at Fenway Park in over a year. I mean, you're paying him $30 million a year for the next 5 years.
That's a lot.
You just committed to that. And to your point, so John Henry made a big thing of this at the picnic table moment in February.
Take care of him.
And that there was nothing wrong with Chris Sale. Our doctors have looked at him, and I said, they're going to sign him. I hear that right now. They are not going to repeat the John Lester mistake. Because of what happened with Lester, they're going to make sure it doesn't happen again. We love him. We're going to commit the money. And he was a little overly anxious to do it. I mean, it was like, oh, you want to
sell? Sell.
Yeah. You want to give me 5 years? 150? Where do I sign? It was like that. And this was in a climate where, you know, was he going to play it out and see what's there? And no, he stayed.
And at that time, a lot of guys were still, it's like, let's take a wait and see attitude.
There was no need to do that when they did. We said it at the time. They should have watched him early in the year, talked to him during the year. And I wonder, would they do that now if they hadn't done it then? And I think probably not.
Is he overthinking it? Because you said earlier, and I agree with you, you can still see the talent there. You can see the
wipeout slider. It's still there
sometimes.
And to right-handers. Including, and you know, and he's tick early in the year, like he had a 1-0 loss in Oakland where he had just over a high school fastball. It was not a Chris Sale fastball. He's got that fastball now. It's command issues and the occasional bad pitch. And I'm gonna say this, he's in this mentality that all the Red Sox have, which is strike everybody out. And that is not your friend. That's how he ends up at 61 pitches after three innings. It's so annoying. And the Dodgers exploited that with Price the other night. Falling off 61 balls over the course of that game, they made Price be a goner after five innings because he just fouled, wasted his pitches. And if you're trying to strike, let them get themselves out. It's okay. But the Red Sox don't want the chaos of the ball in play. We need to strike everybody out. And that's one of the reasons for 5 hours and 40 minutes. And it's also one of the reasons for guys, your fragile starting pitching is gone by the fifth inning, and you go to a bad bullpen and you lose games.
5 hours, 40 minutes, extra innings. Sometimes you can understand it. There are other games and plenty of games you can point to this year that's just, they are taking forever. Your thoughts on that, Dan? As we continue, Tim McCone with the headlines here. Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for a beat.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Na-da. Whoa. Yeah. You know who sings this, Dan? Come on.
I do.
Used to sing for the Commodores, a little hit.
Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
I got that.
The time has come to dance and play and have some fun. No me work, me work to be done. The music play on, play on, play on, play on. Let the music play on, play on, play on. Yeah.
You think when he did that live, they had the effect on the vocal, or he had to do the let the music play on, play on, play on.
Party, yeah, go fiesta, whatever. I like dancing on the ceiling, like when you do the video, like the whole room turns upside down.
No, he was a sort of a soul glow guy.
No, you're thinking of Daryl from Coming Back to America.
Daryl looked like
Lionel Richie.
That's what I'm saying.
That's that Jerry curl, man.
Richie had the big.
How do you
hair
sleep with
helmet?
That? You have to like sleep in like a
special
pocket.
Pillows.
Yeah,
special like linens pillows.
Remember when Daryl would come over to the house of McDowell's and get that grease all over the couch?
Like, oh, I love Daryl. It's a good character.
Hey, Daryl, come on in. Me and my daughter.
Dan, you've often lamented this time of year for the weather and what it does to your hair. What type of product do you use in your hair to keep it from getting unruly?
There's no chance of that. You know, need a little post shampoo conditioner.
Yeah,
leave-in conditioner.
Is it a leave-in conditioner that you use? And what happens if you don't use it?
Oh, it's worse. It's a complete Art Garfunkel afro.
Like, see, my dog gets hot spots. Yeah. You don't get hot spots, right? Like a hot spot would be like a raw spot. You itch it and scratch it. Like they say, I should shave my dog in summer. Yeah. Eliminate the hot spots.
Yeah.
No, your doctor never says, hey, just put one single blade on that thing in the summer.
Really?
You know, kids get summer cuts. Like, you never got a summer cut when you were a kid?
No.
Father never took you and just buzzed you, huh?
No, there was something. The only summer you could do.
You see the temperature on Saturday? Heat index of over 101. It's going to be 97.
Coming up, really?
It's going to feel like 101.
Wow.
Sticky.
I'm going to be in Cooperstown. You think it'll be 101 there?
I could. You know, like how you said that thing right there?
Well, the further inland you go.
Five and a half hour sporting event you would like to watch.
The more pleasant it is. So.
What other place in the world would you rather be than Cooperstown on a 101-degree day? Line them up, McCone. Let's go. Bristol.
There you go. On NBC Sports Boston, they got the traffic up right now.
Oh, yeah.
96-degree air temp, 100-degree plus heat index.
That's hot then, huh?
Mm-hmm. Hazy, hot, and humid is what they're calling Friday through Sunday.
Someone's getting bit this weekend.
92 in Cooperstown Saturday.
Oh, there you go.
This is the weekend,
Jim. Get leniency.
Hardy, this is the weekend. Someone's going to get chomped this weekend.
Four sightings this morning.
So the Boston... And who is the writer for the Globe, Dan? Is it Neil Swidey?
Yes.
Okay. So he wrote a long piece in the Boston Globe's Sunday magazine.
That's a good piece. The history of Jaws, I love that.
It was fantastic. And a lot of it dealt with how the communities are handling this and, you know, went to community meetings where people are saying, you know, kill all the seals. And there's, you know, the anti-seal thing. But he goes into, you know, pretty great depths talking about it, no pun intended, about how, well, the seals are only a part of it. And when they went out on the boats and they went out on a boat and looking around, they had the plane spotter up there. He saw some outrageous number, like 5, 6, 7 sharks in the course of a couple hours, all great whites. And he said, every time they spotted one, there wasn't a seal in sight.
Oh, boy.
It's not.
Seals aren't stupid, too. I mean, they're going to push them. They push them to the beaches is what they do.
But if the
and they know they're there. And this is why they're in so tight. Like, somebody had a drone footage. We were down at Cape last week. There's drone footage all on Cape Cod Times and that, and on all the websites down there. And you think these things are 50, 100, 150 yards offshore. They're literally touching their bellies right almost at the break. Where the foam breaks when it's coming in. And that's literally in 2.5-3 feet of water.
You really won't go in the water?
I'll go in the water. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How deep?
Who else is in the water?
How deep?
Mid-calf. Not mid-calf, mid-thigh. Mid-thigh.
That's not going in.
Right here.
That's not going in.
I will not swim in that water.
The thing in the Globe Sunday magazine said, don't go beyond your waist. That's what Scomel said. Don't go beyond waist.
Scomel's telling people that. So this is a guy that says, hey, let's be careful. Let's live with these sharks. They're beautiful. Yeah. He's telling you, I tell my own family members, you face the water, you never go in more than waist deep, and you stay together.
Right.
That's always good advice.
I'd send a dog out first. Take a stick, send a dog out, let him test it.
That's like they did. NASA
Pippin.
Did that.
Pippin. Yeah.
They did.
Here, Pippin.
German Shepherd, wasn't it?
Well,
that was the Russians.
We sent chimpanzee dogs. Yeah, I think the Russians, I think we use dogs.
The Russians sent a German Shepherd. I think that was the first thing they sent up.
Yeah, dogs would go up and come back.
Are you going to have anything for us moon-related in Dan's dates today?
Well, today's the launch.
Yeah.
Apollo 11.
So, okay.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah, that was a big, deal.
All right, we'll get to that. I don't know how long you sat and watched TV when the Rocket went up. Are you watching these games in their entirety? These Red Sox games?
No.
I don't know how anyone could.
I was at the Sunday game for like 8 innings, and then I left and I went home. And it's of course still going, and then I fell asleep. It was still going, and it was like
the Sunday game. I remember looking up. We were out to dinner, and I looked up at the score in his bottom of the first. I'm like, they've been playing for 45 minutes.
I'm actually tired of talking about how you're going to fix it because they're never going to. No. They're never. With their union, now, hey, and I've said it before, they get the best union out of any of the major sports. The baseball union is phenomenal. They do everything for their players. They will never allow you to shorten games. They're not gonna get this pitch clock thing cranked up. They're not gonna take away strikes. They're not gonna take away balls. They're not gonna shorten innings. They're not gonna do any of this. Well, they're not gonna have 6-inning games because it compromises the past and history of the game.
The geeks are.
This is not going to change
now. This approach of the hitters, the approach of the pitchers.
I turned it on the other day.
Everyone needs to strike out.
I tried the other day. Honestly, I tried, and it was ESPN broadcast. And
dreadful.
There's Mendoza talking about, and they put up this high percentage of where this hitter slights, and then she's talking about this angle, and I'm just this overanalyzation of angles and percentages. I'm like, can you just let the guy pitch and let me see if he can hit the damn ball? Well, they talk you through every freaking pitch. It turned me off.
There's a lot of air to fill because nothing's happening. The guy's standing up there for 5 minutes.
Give me a crouch shot. I'd rather watch the fat kid looking at an ice cream cone on the side, trying to stop that drip from running down on his fingers. That's more entertaining than give me pie charts up there about ball placement, you know, versus lefties or versus guys with more velocity, launch angles. Oh my God.
Yeah,
but you're tired of the statistic part.
They're taking so much time, and in order to describe the action, it's like, well, what's going on? Well, here's what they're thinking, because this is what these guys are thinking about. It's what the pitchers and catchers are thinking about as they're deciding what pitch to throw, because they have all this information.
She's never even played
at their disposal. Well, I don't care if she's never played at that level.
I mean, it'd be like me trying to tell you something about science that I never did.
But why do you think they're telling you that stuff? It's because this is what the managers and the coaches and the pitchers and the catchers are thinking about when they're deciding on what pitch to throw, because they have all this. It is information overload. They've got this stuff now, and so, a lot of it has been lost to just, you know what? I think I can take this guy inside. You know, just simple setups, right? You pitch him out, and then let's take him inside. Or taking a guy. I used to love watching guys just climb the ladder with fastballs, right? Simple, right? Sure. And you want to know why? Because it worked. It didn't work for everybody, but there's certain guys it worked for. And you come in with a decent amount of knowledge on a batter that you're facing, and you go with it.
That was the fun thing about Kimbrel last year.
Oh, like, God.
You know he's going to throw fastballs. You're going to see if they can hit it. He's going to try and throw smoke and blow by you.
Yeah, it's a huge issue.
Mitt and picking.
Not enough happening, and the geeks are adding to it with the whole, you know, the emphasis on strikeouts, the long counts, the hitters approach, the foul balls. Like we said, 61 foul balls by the Dodgers Sunday night.
So the question becomes, what 5-hour sporting event would you watch? Don't answer now. We have that. We have two calls on Sharks. We have two calls on Sharks.
Horse
race.
And want to know what 5-hour event you would watch.
Think about it.
We will all just take it for granted that it is not a regular season baseball game. So if it's not that, what would it be? 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody.
He's trying to work real hard to get his ass clean. So if you're a Springsteen nut, this is like one of the ones you like.
I would think so. Yeah. Because you don't recognize it.
I don't know what this is.
Do it all night.
Do it all night.
Probably. All right, they're playing baseball all night. We're wondering what you would watch for 5 hours. 617-779-0985. And, of course, shark calls because we said the word shark. And, you know, people just immediately start calling like Jay on the Cape. Go ahead, Jay.
Hi, Jay. What do you got on a shark?
Joe, hey, we were down at Duxbury Beach yesterday, or day before yesterday, and they pulled us all out because of the shark sighting, which was a whale. But last night, we were at the Christmas tree shop, and they're loaded with all shark stuff. They didn't pull it all out.
Yes, and somebody, it was Swidey who mentioned that in the article over the weekend. It's like, soon, you know, they're just based on percentages, there probably won't be another attack. It was, you know, this year, you know, if there isn't one and all the shark merchandise will come back. I don't know that it ever left.
You know, don't you just love a bargain? You know what I love? You know what I love about all this is, so for bleeps and giggles, I went on the little app so you get the alert, the shark activity app. And, of course, you get the alerts with us being down in the Cape. That
yes.
Four of the beaches were closed at the same time. Nauset, all the way up to Provincetown, down to Chatham. What's the other one? Truro. And they were only closed for an hour and a half. And then you got the alert that the beaches are back open.
Right. Well, the sharks went away.
Nothing to see here. Well, yeah. It was only closed for an hour. Lunch is over. Just go back in. Hey, let me stand on the edge of the water. Oh, it's clear now? Good. I'll go back in the water. Like, who in their right mind would go in the water after it was closed? Like, what do you think? They just left.
I would not go in beyond waist deep. Someone says you're nuts, by the way. I don't know what you're nuts about here.
Who?
Sean in the car.
What do you got?
Zoe is nuts.
Hey,
why? Why is Zoe nuts?
Zoe? Yeah, you're nuts. You got a better chance of getting struck by lightning than you getting bit by a shark.
Yeah,
I was just out on Martha's Vineyard this past Saturday.
Yeah?
Jumping off the boat into the water that's, you know, 20, 30 feet deep.
Well,
so, I mean...
How long did you stay floating in that water when you jumped off, or did you immediately look for the ladder on the side of the boat?
No, you stay in the water 20, 25 minutes, nice. Hang around on a float. You know, climb back on the boat, have some drinks.
Yeah, you're nuts, though.
Yeah, just some drinks.
You're nuts.
Have a good one.
All right, man. I'll see
you. Thank you.
Yeah, we were out, what was it, 2 weekends ago. And you get out there, and you're out there good ways. You got to go to the bathroom, you know. So you sort of climb down a ladder, get in there real quick, and then hurry up and get back up.
Are there any team names?
But back in the day, you jump off, you know. Kind of swim around a little bit, then climb up.
What about team names?
Now you just kind of dip wondering. And
like
go.
The San Jose Sharks.
Mm.
So they don't feel threatened in San Jose by the
apparently the not.
You mean offended?
It'd be difficult to have, you know, the Chatham Great Whites and feel good about it.
That's what
days.
I'm wondering.
Yeah.
I mean,
that'd be a good name for
there are
for
any
baseball team.
You know, amateur teams in the region, or high school teams that appropriate any of this imagery. You know, I mean, if it would be, if it's... It might be something they'd want to rethink if it's the case. But
why?
Again,
because
San Jose.
There's a picture of a shark. On
so, would you
the
have any?
Helmet?
Would you have any problem supporting the San Jose Sharks?
Hell no, I love the Sharks.
Okay.
We just had an alert. The head of the Meadow Beach in.
Oh, that's a big one.
Where's that?
Truro. Sorry,
Truro.
Yeah,
has been ordered closed for 1 hour.
All right, now is that Bayside?
I love it.
I think it was closed for an hour this morning.
Oh, hold on.
I think it just reopened.
It was closed for 1 hour this morning.
Me, the Harbor Master, I'm going to put my clock on net 59, 59, 59, go. It'll be open in 59:55.
Bayside or Oceanside?
Bay.
Ooh, really?
See, I always thought and always felt relatively safe down on those Bayside beaches,
sure.
Like Mayflower Corporation Beach down there, because, you know, the tide is, you know, comes in. It's like a mile. You can walk out and you're still like, you know, knee deep. You just keep going. You keep going.
Now, we would take the boat through the canal and go come out and sandwich on the sandwich side. And you go up and there's a couple of those nice little inlet beaches there. I forget which name it was. But you got to go up a little bit. And you put the grills out on the sand, and the kids run around, and there's these big dunes you could run down in, and you moor your boat right there. And we were in this exact same spot, and about a week later, one of these videos went viral of about a 20-footer chewing on a prop, exactly where we had our boat moored on. So you think you're safe there, but yeah, they're everywhere. They're going to find you.
I spoke with my mother last night. Lives in North Carolina. She was at the beach last weekend, and I said, I hope you didn't go in the water, because that girl lost her leg, and she said, yeah, no one was going in the water anyway, she said. But and I've seen this too at the place where she goes a couple of times a year, in this particular beach on Emerald Isle, where we see sharks every evening.
Yeah.
And they come in like right where we were swimming, like an hour or two before. And you see the dorsal fins, and they're chasing fish.
Yeah.
They're chasing fish down through there, but it's like it's around like 5-6 at night, and that's when it happens. And I was standing there one time with my sister's friend, who's an actual marine biologist, not a George Costanza marine biologist.
Yeah,
this
the
guy.
The sea was angry that day, my friend.
I don't even know his. I don't even know his last name. His name is Andre. He's one of the leading tuna experts in the world. This guy is a sought after tuna expert, but he knows a lot about sharks too. And I said, Andre, what kind of sharks are those? He said, from the beach, there's only two kinds of sharks: hammerheads and not hammerheads. That's not a hammerhead. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, that's all you can really tell. I mean, from size, you can probably guess it's not a
blue.
But it, you know, bull shark.
Bulls are tough, though.
Lemons,
bulls will bite you.
I don't know. He's like, yeah, there's sharks. He goes, here's the thing, Robert, as my family calls me. He goes, here's the thing, Rob. They were here when we were swimming an hour ago. He said, just they were just waiting for the fish and following the fish. He goes, there's a reason why, you know, everybody comes out of the water this time. It's time to go eat, and that's when the sharks come in. They're always there.
Yeah.
They're always there.
Yeah. That's what the scientists tell you.
So a couple things. Head of the Meadow Beach is the ocean side, not Bayside. Okay. And two, Tom just said that they closed the beach at 11:40 for an hour.
Oh.
So is it like a lightning when you're playing like a baseball game? Yeah. You have to wait a half hour after a lightning strike to resume game?
It's unbelievable.
Seems reasonable.
That's all it is, an hour?
It seems reasonable. All right. Have you guys thought of the...
I wonder if the restaurant people are starting to go out and be like, hey, it's 11:30. Let's go see. We have a shark. I just saw a shark. Get him off the beach.
Lunchtime.
Lunchtime.
Very good, Jim.
Jim, you're a sociopath. You're one of these people who would...
Jim delivered bread. He knows how these places think.
He'd meet someone at a funeral and fall in love and not know how to get in touch with her, so he would go and kill another member of the family, the guy who just died, with hopes that that woman would show up at the next funeral, too. That's how he thinks.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, well, that's... Jim's a sociopath. All right, more shark stories, and I want to hear what sporting events you guys would sit through for 5 hours. 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.